Welcome to 70s Beatles.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Scott. On this podcast, we take a solo album from each of the former Beatles, and taking turns, we each pick songs to fill up what would be our theoretical, hypothetical, what if the Beatles stayed together album. Using John's own suggested template of four songs apiece for George, Paul, and himself, along with one or two Ringo tunes, we build out our individual albums. After a month or so, we go back and, using Spotify data, we calculate the percentage increase in the number of plays for each track. We then total these percentages and see which one of us holds the winning album.
And our newest winner will be announced today. This is the results episode for our eighth and final batch of albums. The albums we chose our songs from were Tug of War by Paul McCartney, Milk and Honey by John Lennon and Yoko Ono, Gone Troppo by George Harrison, and two singles from Ringo's Old Wave LP.
So for a quick recap, let's go over the tracks that we selected for this batch of albums.
Yeah, so for my album, I opted to open it up with Tug of War. I continued with Sleepless Night, You're the One, In My Car, As Far As We Can, Dream Away, and then I closed it with the semi-instrumental Grease. I opened side two with Wanderlust, continued with Here Today, Borrowed Time, Take It Away, That's the Way It Goes. My penultimate song is Unknown Delight, and I just felt it fit to close it out with I'm Steppin' Out.
It's got a good flow to it. I mean, I generally don't put two by the same in a row, and I think that's just my fear of it sounding too much like a solo album, but you have a couple of Dream Away and Grease are together, and Wanderlust and Here Today are together, and I kind of like the way it flows. I liked listening to that the last week.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of do that intentionally, almost like because I'm trying to make it a little bit more cohesive, I guess. I think I put like Ringo songs close together, the two Ringo songs, and I do kind of try to like pair them off because I do want it to like flow that way. But that is an interesting challenge to try and like do it without putting anybody next to each other.
Yeah, no, it's just a arbitrary rule I've placed on myself, but I've done that nonetheless. So for my album, I ended up not coming up with a good title, so I just called it Laxton's Superb, which was the working title they gave, I think, I Want to Tell You, since George couldn't come up with names for any of his songs. So one was called Granny Smith, and that was Love You Too, and then couldn't come up with another one, so they called it Laxton's Superb. So it's the name of an apple, so it seems appropriate.
And yeah,
if you can't come up with a name in Beatledom, that's a good place to go. But I do open that one with George's Wake Up My Love, much as Gone Troppo opened with that, followed by Dress Me Up as Robber, Nobody Told Me and I Keep Forgetting, followed by the Stevie Wonder duet What's That You're Doing, I Really Love You, and closing out with Forgive Me, My Little Flower Princess. So more of an upbeat, danceable side one. Then for side two, we're still... Actually, the whole thing is pretty upbeat. But side two opens with Ringo's She's About a Mover, followed by The Pound is Sinking, the title track from Gone Troppo, I Don't Want to Face It. And then we have a little bit of a downer ending with Somebody Who Cares, Circles, and Grow Old With Me. So if you want to hear all about how we chose these, just check out the previous episode and feel free to listen to our albums on the Spotify playlist that we'll have linked in the episode's notes. And you can also track all the Spotify data along with us because we've linked the tracker in the episode's notes as well. So we've thought of everything. You guys are welcome.
You're welcome. So this is a results episode, so just to kind of outline what we're going to do here, we're going to, of course, announce our Spotify data winner. We'll also get into some fun data. We'll find the top performing songs for each respective Beatle and find the top three performing songs overall, along with some other data. And then we'll round it out with a segment called Beatles in the News. So let's get into it.
So for our final batch of albums, Kate managed to pull ahead with a score of 208.48 to 155.24. That was a rather bad trouncing on my part.
Wow.
And that...
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Ultimately, that means that for the entire podcast, I had a score of 1,350.12, Well, you had a score of 1,373.33. So you got the ultimate podcast wide win for just over 23 points.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy because I have been losing for the past like 5 batches. So I can't believe I just pulled it out in the end. That's wild.
It was close, but yes, you did because you, like I said, you trounced me by a good 50 points or so this time round. So well done. And there's a particular reason why you did, and we are going to get to that with our stats discussion. But before we start talking about the top performers, we should clarify that by top performers, we mean the songs that had the most Spotify plays over our allotted time period and the biggest increase in them. So for John, his biggest increase was Borrowed Time. No surprise, because that's the title of that documentary that's coming out. Mm-hmm. And that went up 1.09%. Paul's Dress Me Up Like a Robber actually jumped up 1.14%. Ringo's two songs, She's About a Mover and I Keep Forgetting Both, jumped up 2.59%. But here's the big one. George's Unknown Delight jumped up 7.56%, giving you 75 points. So your win of 23 points, entirely due to Unknown Delight of all the songs. Yes. Yes. I mean, looking at the top songs overall, it's in fact the number two song at 7.56. The only one better was a little bit more of you, that brief instrumental reprise from Extra Texture that neither of us picked. So you did get the highest one of all, number two, Unknown Delight. So
wow,
not sure why, but there yeah. you go.
I mean, yeah, oh my gosh, I know we speculate about, you know, why the data is the way it is all the time, but I'd be so curious, because this was a song that was about Danny, his son, so yeah. I wonder if there's some, like, connection there, if something happened with Danny that we're not aware of that kind of brought people to this, but yeah, I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah, no, I think it was, like, your 13th pick, even, so
yeah.
Swinging cleanup, doing quite well there, so... Now, looking at the album increases overall, we actually, the number two overall are the Ringo singles from the Old Wave album. The only thing that's done better than it were the Ringo singles from the last album, Stop and Smell the Roses. So they jumped up 2.32%, which is doesn't sound like a lot, but is the only ones that are over 2%. So good for the Ringo there.
Yeah, Ringo job, in Ringo. First and second place overall. It's impressive.
Yes. And I mean, Gontrapo was tied for number 19, or actually number 18, because there was a three-way tie there at 1.03. Mm. And Tug of War was tied at 21 with the second disc of All Things Must Pass, just under 1%. And we also have a new bottom, lowest scoring increase, Milk and Honey, at only 0.74% wow. increase over... Yeah, so not one of my favorites, and apparently not one of anyone else's either.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, we did discuss it in the last episode. It's Yoko is not doing herself any favors. John's songs are not completed. It doesn't fit very well cohesively, so I can see why it was not particularly popular. But on the other hand, I don't understand why Ringo's 1980s singles are popular, so
yeah. Yeah.
Make of it what you will.
Yeah. The numbers don't lie.
No. Just like Shakira's hips.
Yes. All right. So I read the news today. Oh, boy. Let's talk about some of the recent headlines and things that are happening with the Beatles. Why don't you kick us off, Scott?
First, former Beatle drummer Pete Best has announced that he is retiring from the business, leading many to comment, oh, he was still making music. Okay, that was a little harsh, but yes, no, he's been, you know, plugging away at it for years, and I guess he's finally old enough. He's got that Airbnb built in the Casbah Club now. He's gonna stop making drumming music, so best of luck to you, Pete. If ever one of the Beatles was going to retire, you're the one to do it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure he's fine. Like, he's gotten taken care of over the years, so probably not.
Took a while.
Yeah, probably not. Like, making music was probably not the most lucrative venture for him, so.
Yeah, I think he mostly played, like, B Beatles conventions and whatnot. I don't think he was, much in demand, but you know, still he's retiring and hopefully comfortably thanks to the money he got from the anthology, which leads us to our next bit of Beatles in the news.
Yeah, it's been announced that the Beatles anthology book is going to be re-released this year. No word on whether the documentary or the CDs are getting a new upgrade or release or anything, but maybe. It was confirmed by Sean Lennon and Danny Harrison that Peter Jackson's MAL technology would be used to clean up John's vocals on Free as a Bird and Real Love. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know why they would bother to do that if they weren't releasing the anthology again, but they haven't announced it, so we will just continue to wait. But it is like the 30th anniversary of it, which is weird because it was already 30 years since the Beatles happened when this anthology originally happened. So kind of strange, but we'll see if there's a new video or new CDs or anything coming out about that.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's all, if it's kind of a result of that MAL mall technology. Like now that they have that, I wonder if they're kind of revisiting those things and doing it just because like they can now make cleaner versions of it.
Yeah. They can fix up what was, you know, in 1990, probably very difficult to clean up with their technology. So, I mean, should they just let it be or and have it as it was at the time? Or, well, apparently this is what they're going to do. So we'll see how much good it actually does to the song. Let's see. Also announced by Sean Lennon is a 9-disc box set of John's 1972 concert 1-to-1. Now, I'm not sure how they're filling up 9 discs since it was just an afternoon and an evening show with pretty much the same set list. I mean, there's probably rehearsals or whatnot. I don't know. There was talk of a Sometime in New York City box set a couple years ago that got put on the shelf. So maybe they're just changing the name of it and focusing more on the live stuff than the outtakes from that less than beloved album.
Yeah, 9 discs is a lot of discs.
Yeah, I'm reserving judgment. I'm hoping there's something worthwhile in it, but it does sound kind of scraping the barrel.
Yeah. Well, Paul McCartney's animated musical, High in the Clouds, just announced its voice cast, including Celine Dion, Himesh Patel, Lionel Richie, Ringo Starr, Jimmy Fallon, and Idris Elba.
An interesting group of people. I mean, Himesh Patel, the star of that Yesterday movie that came out a couple years ago about hypothetical world without the Beatles. So interesting to see him getting some recognition from the official Beatles there. And of course, the fact that Ringo's involved is always nice to see because they're the only two left. So it's not never a bad thing to see the two of them working together.
Definitely. What is, do we know the premise of the movie?
It's based on his novel. I have not read his novel. I didn't even know he wrote a novel. So I do not know, but I probably could go to Wikipedia and look it up if I were so inclined. But I'm trying to avoid spoilers. That's the reason I haven't. Yeah, exactly. We will see. I think it's like an animated kids kind of thing, like Rupert the Frog, but we'll see.
Okay.
Let's see. Speaking of Paul, he is also releasing a book this fall titled Wings, The Story of the Band on the Run. It will be an oral history edited by Ted Widmer. It's illustrated and has 528 pages. So it'll draw on many hours of interviews with McCartney as well as other members of Wings, whether current or past. And should be interesting. It's nice to know that he's still plugging Wings, even though Wings is no longer an extant band of his.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, where does he find the time? He's like releasing a movie, publishing a book, still like playing shows occasionally. He is
He's
busy.
He's a busy boy.
Yeah. I wonder though, because it says like Paul McCartney is releasing the book, you know, edited by this historian, Ted Widmer. I wonder if this is like this guy, Ted Widmer, sat down and interviewed him, and then and it's like an oral history. So oral histories are basically just kind of like printed interviews. There's usually not a lot of writing involved. It's kind of just like transcription. So I wonder
I don't
if
think
that is what's going on here. Like, this guy, Paul McCartney, didn't necessarily sit down at a computer and, like, do the writing. He maybe just kind of talked.
Yeah, no, it's probably, in fact, similar to the Beatles anthology book, where they just, yeah, transcribed interviews and put a bunch of pictures on it, and then, you know, published it in a nice hardbound copy and charged you $50 for it. So
yeah,
I'll probably buy it, but yes, it's, yeah. There's probably not a lot in there that we don't already know.
Yeah, yeah, but it is, like you said, like, it's nice to see him kind of focus in on Wings specifically.
Someone actually mentioned the other day that his current touring band, which doesn't even have a name, he's actually been with them longer than he was with Wings and the Beatles combined.
Really?
He's had the same lineup since like 2000 or something.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't even know the guy's names. I think one of them's named Rusty, but yeah, that apparently is the band that he has spent the most time with.
So. Huh. Interesting.
Good on you guys.
Yeah, that's crazy to put it in perspective like that. Speaking of Paul and his band, he gave back in February, a surprise gig in New York at the Bowery. The last time he played in New York was 3 years ago at MetLife Stadium to an audience of 82,000. This time, 500 people.
Wow.
The Bowery has featured artists such as Lou Reed, Joan Jett, Radiohead, The Roots, Patti Smith, Amy Winehouse, Lady Gaga, Metallica, and now McCartney.
It would be crazy to see him in such a small venue. I'm sure I can't imagine. It might actually get you too close to him. I don't know if I want to see him looking that old and frail. I may want the distance of, you know, an entire stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, that him, and it's... But. It's. I think it was like a surprise kind of a thing where they like announced it on Instagram and you had to like go and run to the box office and it was one ticket per person. It's like the old days, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of fun that way. And had I that opportunity, and there's no way I would have, but yeah,
right.
Had I the opportunity, I definitely would have been there. So
yeah. And good, I think he's kind of known to do that occasionally. He did. I have this memory of like a clip playing. I think I saw it on like YouTube or something where he just like showed up at some pub in London and played a show. I'm not sure if that's like, if I'm remembering it completely correctly, but I guess it goes to say like, this is not the first time he's done this.
No, I mean, that was one of the things that when he first put Wings together was, you know, he would just show up at a college and say, hey, can we play here tonight? We'll just take, you know, £500 or whatever. And you can just, you know, give us a free meal and we'll play with like no publicity and whatever. So he'll take any opportunity really to play a gig. So it's not super surprising that he did this and he's still doing it, but it is fun to see that it's still part of his repertoire.
Yeah, definitely.
So that pretty much brings us to the end of Beatles news. And with that, we are sort of at the end of our whole podcast experiment here, which is, you know, I think we've learned a lot. We've listened to some albums I probably wouldn't have spent that much time with. But overall, what do you think you took away from this? What has forcing yourself to listen to, say, Extra Texture and Ringo's Road to Grovier really brought you in your life?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Great question. I would say it brought me kind of a new love and appreciation for who the Beatles were as individuals versus like them, because I have always been such a huge Beatles fan, and I think that, and I like all of, I'm so familiar with all of their music and the 10 years that they were together. And then I had kind of like hyper focuses, like I loved All Things Must Pass and I loved Band on the Run, like those kind of solo shiners, I guess, that people are more aware of. But kind of like going through it chronologically and listening to every piece along the timeline, I think brought me a new appreciation for their solo gifts and what they brought to the table with the, when they were with the Beatles, and then the kind of like emotional journeys they were going on after the breakup as well. I feel like I'm more informed about who they were individually. And yeah, it also just like brought me a lot of new great music that I probably would not have found otherwise. Like that one, the really weird song on the batch we just did, You Got It. Let me remember the name of it. It's from the George album, I Really Love You, which is like, it's so, I had avoided Gontrapo, like, intentionally, and so kind of having the opportunity to sit down and, like, open mind, listen to it. I really like that song. Like, it's funny, it's goofy, it's silly, it's a different side of George that is not on All Things Must Pass. It felt like I have a more complete picture of all of them now. So, what are your thoughts and what are your takeaways?
I think the main thing I took away from this is ultimately the reason the Beatles broke up was the same reason that they were so good, is they were relentless and restless in trying to do new and interesting things. And even if the personality conflicts weren't there, they were inevitably going to get bored and they were going to have to go separate ways. And that's part of what made them great, but it did mean it was also part of what made them, you know, perishable, ultimately. And so it's interesting to see where they went, but I think inevitably what we came away with is there was no way to put them back together as much as we tried. And the first few batches were a little closer together than the last few, but it still never was a cohesive whole, no matter what we did.
Yeah.
Just what would you say was your main takeaway from having to listen to all these?
Yeah, I totally agree with your point. I think that that's, like, very astute that we, you know, trying to put them back together, it was very fun, but it was, like, challenging because they had all kind of gone their separate ways and had different aesthetics and things like that. I would say that my main takeaway was really kind of getting to know that side of them. I'm, like, very familiar with the Beatles discography, the 12 canon albums that they put out when they were together. And then I was, before starting this, very familiar with the, you know, like, Band on the Run and All Things Must Pass and kind of the very popular solo records. But listening to them, all of them, chronologically, and kind of, you know, following that timeline with them, I feel like I got to know their aesthetics better, their individual tastes better, which gives me kind of a new lens when I'm going back and listening to the original Beatles records, you know, kind of like knowing what ideas they have in their mind and what kind of music they would make had they had all of their, like, creative liberties. It gave me perspective, I think.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one thing I enjoy about the Beatles solo careers is you listen to, like, Abbey Road and you just think, well, there's no way that human beings did this. How could this be possible? But then you listen to them individually and you can sort of hear what strengths and what weaknesses each brought to the project and how that melded together so perfectly. So it also, it feels a little more human because they're a little more fallible. The Beatles would never release something like Jam Rag or Bip Bop, but...
Right. It highlights how they tempered each other in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, John wouldn't let Paul get away with certain things and vice versa.
Yeah. Which, you know, for better or for worse.
Yeah. No, I think it the sum of the parts was greater than, or yeah, the whole was greater than the sum of the parts. Is that how it goes? Yeah. Something like that.
I feel gratitude and I feel thankful that we have both. Like, we have their body of work when they were together, and then we have a solid body of work for each of them when they were on their own. Like, that's not something that you get with a lot of bands. Like, think about, I don't know, like the Rolling Stones, who have just been together for a long time and, you know, rotating people, but still. Or like Nirvana, who we have, like, their music as a group, but we're not going to get the opportunity to have all of these, like, this solo career for each of them. Like, the Beatles is, I think, one of the only bands that has, like, all original members have a solid body of work when they were together, and each of them has a solid body of work on their own.
Yeah, I can't think of another band that has enough solo discographies worth investigating that you could even pretend to play this game with. Yeah, nobody's listening to Keith Richards' solo album or whatnot. I mean, so yeah, that's why there won't be a season two 70s whatever.
Yeah.
Was there an album you were surprised to find that you liked or really didn't like, since you were only familiar with, like, the more common?
Let me look back, and I guess I had in my mind going in, like, I was like, All Things Must Pass is my favorite George, Band on the Run is my favorite Paul, my favorite John was Walls and Bridges, and nothing, like, I'll listen to all of these, but I don't know that my mind is going to be changed. And honestly, I still kind of feel like those are my, like, quote-unquote favorites, but as I'm sure, like, you and many other people feel with music as it kind of rotates, I was really surprised by how many of the Paul albums I really liked. Venus and Mars in particular kind of sticks with me. It was so rocking. I really liked that. And then I wouldn't say there was, like, a John album that overall kind of, like, impressed me, but there were individual tracks that I was like,
yeah,
wow, this is really, really cool.
No, and there's definitely, yeah, John's albums are far less consistent.
So yeah.
It's harder to... Walls and Bridges, always a stand for that. That one doesn't get enough respect, I think. But yeah, other than that, there's no real surprises front to back, but there are always songs like On Mind Games or whatever strange rock and roll tracks. You're like, oh, he could have done something more, and it's a pity that we didn't get more from him.
Yeah. How about you? Was there anything that in your listen throughs, like, stuck out to you?
I think the one I was least familiar with going in was Milk and Honey, and it was just the Yoko songs that I didn't know, and I tried. Sorry, I tried, but
yeah.
Poor Yoko.
Yeah. What are some, like, moments in our recordings that, like, stick out to you, like, any funny memories or things like that?
I mean, I'm definitely glad that I got Coochie Coochie.
I knew it.
That you thought you were going to, like, you thought you were doing me dirty by sticking me with Coochie Coochie, and I was, you know, secretly just so happy. It's still one of my favorite songs. I know it's got, like, one chord in it, but it's Ringo.
Yeah.
How many chords do you need?
Yeah. I knew it. That's that was going to come back up. That's so funny. Yeah.
Always here for Coochie Coochie. What about you? Anything you remember being particularly noteworthy?
For me, I think I had so much fun, like, with the titles and the creating, the piecing together of the albums. Also, I really loved the Beatles in the News segment. Was, I feel like, such a fun idea and ride to go on, because, like, we've been doing this for at least, like, a year and a half now, and so much of, like, so much Beatles stuff has come up, whereas I feel like that if we had done this podcast maybe, like, 5 or 10 years ago, I don't know that we would have as much to talk about with the In the News segment. But I think there's just kind of been, like, a revitalization of them in the past, like, year and a half, you know, with the, like, the biopic, that's huge news. They released a new song now and then, that's huge, and they won a Grammy for it. All of these things that have come up in the past year and a half that we've kind of gotten to talk about as it's happening, that really sticks out to me.
Yeah, no, there are not many times in one's life, and particularly in the last 3 years, where you get to say there's a new Beatles song.
Yeah.
The fact that it happened while we were recording this podcast was kind of special, and I'm glad I had someone to chat about it with. So I appreciate you coming on this ride with me.
Yeah, of course. Me too. Thanks for having me along. It's been a blast.
Any final parting thoughts you want to leave our listeners with? Any suggestions? Any warnings you want to...
I guess I'm going to go with the importance of an open mind when going into albums, especially, like, some of these later ones. And, like, I don't know, if you... I love the Beatles, you gotta love, like, the whole Beatles, and, you know, there's good and there's bad, both in, you know, who they were as people, and then the music that they make as well. But I think you have to kind of appreciate the artistic journey, and I would recommend, like, to anybody what we did here, just kind of, like, taking the time to listen to the albums chronologically, because it really does just give you a new perspective on something that I genuinely thought I knew, not everything, but I thought I knew a lot about the Beatles But there was a lot that I didn't know, and keeping an open mind, now I feel a lot more informed.
Now, the Beatles, their original, you know, core catalog is a digestible, easily understandable amount, but it is finite, and sometimes it can be disappointingly small. So sometimes you have to reach out a bit to find other stuff, and granted, the other stuff isn't as uniformly quality, but there are moments that are just as good as, say, Abbey Road or Rubber Soul or Sgt. Pepper. They're just a little more diluted, dispersed.
Yes.
But they are out there and they're worth seeking out.
100%. Yeah.
And with that in mind, I also want to thank all of you who were listening. I know we may have tended to ramble on a bit. We weren't a huge podcast, but I still appreciate anyone who did, you know, take their time to listen and send us any, you know, suggestions or comments or, you know, just warm smiles. We do appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks for coming along this journey with us. It's been such a blast.
And, you know, one last time we have to say it, smash that like button or subscribe button, whichever button is available on your podcasting form. And unless, you know, George rises from the dead and puts out a new album, I guess that'll be about it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.